Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
B-Pod Studios.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love.
It's the noontime hour on a Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston is with us, and Phil Perry is driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long.
Tom?
Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats. Phil, how we doing?
Hey.
What's up, boys? What's going on?
McRib's back, Phil. Hear that?
Excuse me, who's back?
The McRib. We were talking about
McRib.
Last segment.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I missed that.
You don't
I'm
even
sorry.
Know what that is, do you?
I've never had a McRib. I will be honest with you there.
All right. Well, let's talk football.
Because well, people
all you
love
know.
Them. Yeah. People love them.
Hey, you did a nice job this week with Ted Johnson. Really good job walking people through some of the problems that they had in the last game on TV.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Appreciate you watching that.
I enjoyed
that's
that.
A fun show.
It is.
That
you guys
a
should
lot
do
of work.
You guys should do. I know it's a lot of work, but there's something there with that. You should do but more the, of that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's
I
a
think
good
they
time.
Should
Ted
bring back
obviously
the football
knows his stuff.
Fix.
He's great.
Bring back the fix, Phil. That's
well,
what
they're doing.
Football fix is also a lot of fun.
Because, I mean, the Patriots need fixing.
They
you,
did
know?
A, you guys did a seance this week or something, didn't you?
Football fix was a lot of work for other people, I think, Beetle. Not so much for you and me. We just kind of show up and have a great time. That's what made that show awesome. I
yeah.
Think.
Big fan. Yeah. Great product. Highly rated.
But Monday
run.
Night Patriots, actually got a lot of, have gotten a bunch of compliments sort of unsolicited on that show lately. So I don't know if because they're losing, people are watching more because they want to see what's going wrong. Maybe it's not as interesting when things are going well. I don't know.
See,
I
we
don't know.
We talked about that today too. And I'm like, you know, this, the last year, I go back to this time last year when they were 8-0 and the quarterback said he was miserable and they ended up being 12-4. We kept hearing a boring 12-4 team. Like, this year seems like there's more interest than there.
Hello.
Seems like there's more interest this year than there was last year, which is odd. And I think it's the turmoil. Turmoil generates interest.
Yeah.
I think it's a turmoil, and I think it's just this is a
there's no answer to fix it.
Unlike any other that the Patriots have been in under Bill Belichick right now,
yeah.
Where the calendar is about to flip to November, and you've got twice as many losses as you do wins, and you're behind the Bills in the division. You don't have a long-term answer quarterback. You have no idea what the roster is going to look like next year. It's still one of the oldest rosters in football, guys, even though Tom Brady's no longer on the team. And so I think people want to see how does this thing get handled. Obviously, it hasn't gone great so far, but there are a lot of moves left to be made, and that's sort of what we hit on with Bill Belichick this morning in his press conference. I don't think he gave us any definitive answers. Those are obviously hard to come by with Bill Belichick. But I don't know if you guys listened to that press conference, but
we
it was
did.
Sort of interesting just to try to get a feel for what he's thinking about going into this weekend and then the deadline soon thereafter.
All right, well, let's hit on that very topic. Burt Breer was this morning with TNR right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Have a listen to what Burt Breer said.
I basically, over the last few days, made calls around and, you know, you hear who's talking about who and everything else. And, you know, one of the things I heard from a couple different teams was that the Patriots had basically made it known that they're willing to listen on almost anybody. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to make trades. I saw somebody throwing the term fire sale around. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying for the first time in a long time, I think they're very open to the idea of selling off parts.
Burt Breer is saying that they're making it known to other teams throughout the league that they are listening on anybody. What's your reaction in hearing that? Mine is, okay, they don't have a lot of faith in this team, and they're already making that known ahead of this game on Sunday. Maybe this game has become sort of irrelevant in that conversation from an internal team perspective.
I don't know if it's become irrelevant, but I think it's less relevant than maybe I thought a few days ago based on some of the things I've heard too. I mean, I think you got to give them credit, whether it's Bill Belichick, Nick Caserio, for being realists. I mean, you don't get to accomplish everything that they've accomplished by looking at things in such a way that everything looks rosier than it really is. They understand what the team looks like right now. They understand where they're not very good. They understand where they need to get better moving forward to be a competitive team. The question is, how many things do you need? And is it possible to accomplish all of those things at one trade deadline? And I think for all of us, the answer to that would be no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm reading Mike Lombardi, former Patriots executive in The Athletic a couple days ago, and he's calling he buries it. It's really definition of burying the lead, because he goes through all these reasons as to why the Patriots aren't succeeding and no offseason program. And that's sort of their advantage, right, is the Bill Belichick factor. And if you get less Bill Belichick, you get less practice time, the team's going to suffer. And then at the very end, he says, so this is looking like a two-year rebuild. I think we could all look at that realistically and say, yeah, sounds about right.
What's
somebody who's been inside the organization, somebody right. whose son is on the coaching staff right now, for him to say that, I think that is a little bit of a dose of reality. And I think they aren't so blind to the fact, Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio, that is probably the reality that they're looking at.
We're not talking like 3-16 rebuild, right? It's more like an 8-8, 9-7. You're in a general vicinity, somewhat competitive rebuild, right?
I mean, quarterback play matters, though.
It's a quarterback league, and the teams that have him are doing
continues
well.
To play, if the quarterback continues to play the way he has the last 2 weeks, I mean, can they win a game with the quarterback playing the way he has the last 2 weeks? Let me ask you that.
Okay. He said yesterday he is at a crossroads, and that's the part that perked me up, because I think literally his – I don't want to say his career. Maybe his career. It's up in the air this Sunday. It's a big one for him this Sunday, because with bodies down, and I asked the other guys this in the room, with bodies being down, do you dress all three quarterbacks up? You see what I'm saying? Say this game has the feel of a Chiefs game. You're in it at halftime, but he's thrown two picks and he's 2 of 8 in the first half for 40 yards. You make a move, because your season's on the line. You can win that game, and then you can win the following week and you're 4-4. My question is, do you dress Hoyer out? Because some people feel, and you hear guys like Bedard talk and guys in the afternoon, Felger, Matt, they think Hoyer could be the best thrower on the team. Like, look how he played in Kansas City with no prep. At least he was completing some third downs in that game. What's your take on the quarterback situation right now? And if Cam's not playing well at halftime and they're in it, what do you do?
Well, you say your season's on the line, right, with this game?
Yeah. It's all hands on deck to me.
If you pull Cam Newton in this game, is that not a statement that he's probably not your guy moving forward the rest of the way?
Yes.
If you pull him again, right, for the second straight week, you're kind of pulling the ripcord on him. And then if you do that, are you not then pulling the ripcord on your season? Do you really feel good about, like, Cam Newton is what he has been the last couple of weeks, but he also has this ceiling that neither guy behind him also has.
Last week,
so if you're
really
saying on the one
film.
Hand, this game is our season, we got to win it, we might not be able to win it with Cam.
Yeah.
Well, what does the entire season look like if you're going at it without Cam? I mean,
I agree.
I mean,
think
but kind of
he's so progressively
kind of riding and dying with Cam right now.
He's so progressively heading downhill. Like, you go back, and I think you look at some of that, the throws in the Raider. That, the throw to Abrams in the Raider game, the pick, and the other ones that didn't get picked, I almost think he almost played as bad in that Raider game during a win. Now, do they think they could win when he plays like that? That's the problem. There aren't many Raiders teams left where, okay, we can play a terrible game on offense and still win.
Raiders are one of the worst defensive teams in football, but the good news for the Patriots offense is that really nobody is playing defense this year. I mean, across the league, defense is down. Everybody's scoring. Everybody's hitting overs, it feels like, week after week after week. So I would stick with Cam. I think this game's going to be ugly regardless. Like, you're gonna put Brian Hoyer in, and all of a sudden he's going to be completing passes in 45-degree winds in Western New York. I think this could be – do you remember the last game of the 08 season, guys?
Yes. Matt Castle's
yeah. last game.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday.
With
the goalposts moving and shifting.
Holding down the goalposts with ropes. Like, that could be what the weather is. They threw the ball eight times that game, eight or nine times. And that was with a guy that, you know, was not Cam Newton in terms of the physical skill set. Like, Matt Cassel had to throw to be good.
Which tells us that the design runs and some of the option stuff that has been, you know, gradually disappearing has to come back into the fold this week.
Totally. I would agree with that 100%. I think part of the reason it goes away is because you've been down on the scoreboard. And like it or not, that's just how teams approach this across
the
league.
But
you get down.
That to me is
running.
A mistake, because even if you're down, this team's best chances are when they're able to run. And so I think that
probably
has been
one of the few teams that could say that.
Yeah. And I think that's been one of the, I would say it's similar to the Ravens. Like, it's a mistake. It's a mistake what they've done here. Coaching wise, this has not been the best move for them to get away from it when they get down.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree, because again, you're one of the best run teams in the league. I think going into last week, at least, they were third most efficient in the league when it comes to expected points added every time they ran the football. Great, elite running offense. They were still 28th overall in offense. So running the football is all well and good. Is it going to win you a bunch of games? No. Is it for this Patriots team still their best option? Yes, especially now when you look at the personnel and the people that Cam Newton is going to have to try to throw to. I mean, it's the worst tight end group in the league. I'm not sure there's a worse group of receivers in the league without having gone over it. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find one. I think this is probably the worst group of receivers the Patriots have had. It's definitely the least accomplished group of receivers the Patriots have had under Bill Belichick. You can go back to 06. You can go back to 13. That was sort of a down year, right? The Kembrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson.
Yeah.
At least you had Julian Edelman
right.
go off for 100 catches and 1,000 yards.
You still had Tom Brady, too. To me, you say it's a down group. This is the most hopeless group to me, and I think it's affecting the mentality of the team, because I think they're dead in water on offense.
More with Phil Perry is coming up with your calls, 617-779-0985. We will talk about the latest news on Julian Edelman and his injury. That broke yesterday. We'll get Phil's thoughts on that and what it's going to mean for the offense if they're without Edelman or without N'Keal Harry as well. We got a lot to get to in the hour, and you could be a part of it. Join us next.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot. Hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it. Wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel. More duct tape, a hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zoe.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The former QB, always laser-focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the return goes. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is, a season-ending situation. We'll see. I'm not a doctor. We'll see how it goes here. Hopefully, he'll be back. I know he, you know, has worked awfully hard, and you know, nobody's more competitive than Julian is. So he'll do everything he can to be back out there. We'll just take it day by day and edit the process and, you know, see how it goes.
Bill Belichick on Julian Edelman, who yesterday had a procedure of some sort. Dealing with a knee injury that he's been dealing with all season long. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us. Phil, how bad do you think the injury is? How much time do you think Edelman misses? And, well, what's this mean for the future of him career-wise?
Speak, Phil.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see in terms of how much time he'll actually miss. Are we on delay? Are we on delay?
No, I think we're a little delay there.
Listen, though, he's clearly not right. He hasn't been right for a long time. I think, and this is based on what Tom Curran reported last night on Early Edition in Boston Sports Tonight is the fact that there was he's not sure how standard the procedure was, which is how Adam Schefter termed it. So it sounds like something might have gone down in practice on Wednesday that led to this having to happen. And again, as Bill Belichick said, and when's the last time we got an injury update that detailed from Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
But you know, we'd have to go back probably to a Rob Gronkowski / New England Patriots joint team statement for that kind of that kind of detail. But I think it's probably going to be a while. And even when he comes back, how much can you expect from the guy? And where is this team?
Right. Yeah. And
when he does come back, if he comes back, does it matter? You know, I think all these things, come into play, and it would not shock me if, given where the team is and how he's feeling, if that was the last time we saw him last weekend.
Well, that'd be a shame because you know, a lot of people
would
love the player. Like Bill said, the competitiveness that he brings to the to the field every day. And I'm just glad that this puts to rest the people that have looked at his face and said he looks checked out, looks like he doesn't want to be there. I said that's a look of anguish to me. Like he's in pain. He's going through something, man. That is not I don't want to be there. That's I'm hurt and I'm pressing. You know, I'm just trying to get through this. And so it puts to rest that theory that, oh, he's checked out because his guy's not here. No, I think he's turned a page on that. Don't you?
Well, they had to manage him in camp.
Yeah.
They've managed him in games. I mean, Damier Bird is their leading receiver when it comes to snaps played.
Josh talked about it weeks ago.
Dial back on this guy. Right. So I'm with you. I mean, this guy is one of the just most maniacal competitors right there after Brady, I would say, that I've ever covered, that I've ever seen. I mean, he's the kind of guy who at Brady's charity touch football game is in skinny jeans at Harvard Stadium and lose it like running, trying to run a 4-4 down the sideline so that Brady can hit him with Danny Amendola in coverage. Like he's that kind of person where it's just, I don't think it ever really turns off for him. So I think that whole process of dialing it back has been really difficult for him. So no idea with him. And it just shines a light on where this receiver group is now, Beetle.
That's what I was going to say. The receiver group is now without N'Keal Harry, who's in concussion protocol and dealing with that right now, without Julian Edelman. We're now down to Damier Bird. We are down to Gunnar Olszewski. These are the types of names that we're going to see playing significant snaps. And Damier Bird, I actually like. I think he's maybe one of the best outside guys. He is the best outside guy that they have. But this is what it now looks like. Jacoby Myers, where does this leave them? Not that this week it's going to be a major factor with the weather and how many times they'll choose to throw, but this group is looking real thin.
It's a mess. It's a mess because even with the injury,
Julian Edelman was still
commanding coverage, though.
Yeah.
So and I'm sure you saw this, too. I mean,
he's the only guy worth setting coverage to.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. I think it's just by default. Well, we know Edelman's not right, but they're probably still going to try to throw to him on third down, which Cam Newton was. He's still looking at him. He's still locked onto the guy and then, you know, maybe would come off last second. But they're jumping it. You know, they're showing two high safeties and they're rolling one to the top middle and they're dropping one down. And who is he jumping? He's jumping Julian Edelman with a guy trailing behind him. They're still doubling Julian Edelman in critical spots, even though he's playing on one leg.
Yeah.
So now what do? Now you've just got a free defender. If you're the Bills, well, where do we want to put this guy? Do we want to put him right at the line of scrimmage? You know, do we want to put him at the linebacker level and make sure that, you know, or do we just want to add another guy deep so they know for sure that they can't throw to Damier Bird deep and they won't be able to do anything through the air? It just makes them much easier to defend, even though Edelman was as limited as he was. And I'll tell you just how smart I am, guys, was going into last week's game. And I might have said this on the program here. If they win, if they beat the Niners, they should be buying. Because you've got a game against the Bills coming up, division opponent. 5 of your last 10 are against division opponents. You've got 2 with the Bills. You've got 2 with the Jets that you should win. Why not compete and just try to win the division and try to have a season here and try to go to the playoffs? Are you Super Bowl contenders? No, probably not. But why wouldn't you just try to win this thing and go after a team in the Bills that really haven't been that good? If you're following along, they started 4-0. It was a fraudulent 4-0. Now they won last week. They went up against a team in the Jets who gained 4 yards total in the second half, and yet still that game was close. Mm. They lost the two before that. Josh Allen has come crashing back down to earth. Like, there's something to play for here, right?
Yeah.
But it was so bad last week. You know, so I'm sitting there saying on TV, you know, hey, if they win this week and they go, like, maybe see if you can go get yourself a Will Fuller. Because, you know, if you get someone with some real speed, like a true number one, which he is in Houston right now, and he's in the last year of his contract, and that team's obviously going nowhere, that changes the way that teams defend you, right? So now all of a sudden, instead of seeing one safety deep every snap of the game, well, now a team might have to put a second safety back there because they don't want to get beat by Will Fuller because he has that kind of speed and he has that kind of reputation. There's respect involved with that guy just being on the field. That opens things up for your run game. Now all of a sudden you're off and running as an offense. And if your defense can play the way it did in Kansas City, held Patrick Mahomes to 19 points, hey, this might not be a bad team after all. And then last week happens.
Also,
and now you say, well, what are we doing now?
What are you hearing on N'Keal Harry? Still on Planet Zippy? Or he's starting to turn a corner a little bit.
I mean, he missed his second day of practice yesterday, so he's got multiple steps of the concussion protocol to get through.
So to finish his trade thought, though, Phil, are you now saying that forget it? You know, Buffalo doesn't matter. That losing to San Francisco last week, that's it. You're out on that.
I think spending significant capital to rent a player right now would not be wise. And so if you can get – say you blow out the Bills. Say Cam looks great, and even through the wind, he's throwing the ball like he was in week two. If you can give up a third for Will Fuller, I might not hate that idea because you're going to get a third probably somewhere in the compensatory formula. You got a third, I think, coming back for a couple guys next year. I wouldn't hate that. Would I give up a, you know, would I make a deal like they did last year for give away a second for some immediate help? I would not. I think that would still be too much. But even that, you know, I'm going in with the qualifier. Well, they have to look great against the Bills. Does anybody think they're going to look great against the Bills?
No.
I don't know. I
great
think
you'd be hard-pressed
to find
word.
People that, yeah, that feel that way.
Great feels a little strong. Given that Stephon Gilmore, by the way, tweaked his knee yesterday in practice and could potentially not play this weekend as well, how does that sort of throw into doubt the possibility of trading Gilmore?
Well, he's really your only tradable asset right now. And not the only one, but I'll lay out the names that I sort of came up with this morning as I'm putting my mailbag together, because that's one of the questions that gets asked. It's like, okay, who could they deal? And I'm trying to think, man, look at this roster. Who has value across the league right now? Who would bring back any kind of significant piece, draft pick or otherwise? Start with Gilmore, right? I think the best you're getting there is a two, maybe a two. Darius Slay basically got the Lions the equivalent of a high three because it was a mid third and a fifth, I believe, that Philly sent their way. So he brought back a high three. Philly had to give him a new contract just the way that whoever ends up with Stephon Gilmore, I would imagine, has to give him a new contract because he's not playing on what he's set to make next year. He shouldn't want to. That's below market. So maybe the Patriots are even working with if they are trying to trade him, would they be working with him right now to make sure he gets sent somewhere that he wants to be long term? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah.
So, okay. So he, you start there in terms of trade assets. Tooney, okay, maybe. And then after that, how about your guy? Winovich?
You got to play to be tradable.
You want to move him?
I don't want to move him. He's one of your best young players. But when you're talking about trade assets,
why is he playing less?
Is going to bring you back anything? I think you have to start with Winovich because I think based on how he's been used the last couple of weeks, Zoe, he might have more value somewhere else where they are okay with somebody who only can rush the passer, which it seems like the Patriots sort of view him as.
Imagine him in Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Than he does here, right? If the Patriots view him as a sub-rusher only, there are plenty of teams around the league that would love a guy like that. That's a valuable skill set.
Sure is.
Feels like with the Patriots, they want you to be able to play the run. They want you to be, you know, out there on first and second down if you're going to have real value. So I might look there. I might look at the left tackle. Like those are the kinds of players you have to start thinking about if you really are just set on just accumulating draft picks.
Right? Isaiah Wynn?
You do see this as a multi-year rebuild.
You said Isaiah Wynn?
Wynn is a guy who's been injured a lot. He's been injured a lot. He's only 24, and he's a good young player. But if you want anything back of value, these are the guys I think you would have to be considering. Again, okay. if it's as Bert said, they're willing to have conversations on anybody, Winovich would have value somewhere else. Isaiah Wynn, I think, would have value somewhere else. And I wonder, based on the injury history, based on the fact that, I mean, you look at some of his, and listen, I'm not an offensive line guru, but Pro Football Focus follows this more closely than I do. They have him graded as the 30th best tackle in the NFL right now, the 39th best pass blocking tackle right now. I wouldn't trade him. Again, I think you need young players at important positions that are pretty good. But if you're looking to stockpile, if you're looking to sell, if you're looking to trade, you don't have a ton of valuable tradable assets right now. So you would be talking about some of these younger guys.
617-779-0985. That is the phone number. We're going to reconnect with Phil. We'll get headlines from Hardy. We'll talk more about the game this weekend against Buffalo and also Cam Newton. It's all on the way.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Of NBC Sports Boston is with us. Big game on Sunday for the Patriots.
You miss his trip, Phil?
Oh, I do.
I do,
you
too.
Know, I like hanging out there. They've had me do a couple of different hang sessions with Mafia tailgate.
I heard Gasper was bad on this. Were we on Zoom or Scott? What are we on? Zoom?
Zoom.
Are we Zooming?
Yeah.
You might be approaching Gasper levels, man. Keep cutting out.
You want me to get off and come back on?
Not really. Oh. I mean, didn't we just do that? Didn't we do that? What? What is it, on Wi-Fi over there, Phil? Wi-Fi-ing?
Yeah, we're on the internet.
Is it snowstorm related?
They pay the bills over there? It could be snowstorm related. But no, I do miss this trip. I can't stand the team, Buffalo. But walking around downtown, we stay downtown and eat where we want. Great spots to eat. And I just missed a ride in with the inbreds all lined up on Mama's lawn, you know, flipping you off and mooning you, and the Bills Mafia stuff when we leave and waving at them because we get to leave, they got to stay. It's great. I love it. You know, we get on the buses at the airport, and there's people flipping you off one block as soon as you leave because they hear the woo-woo sirens. Like, what are we doing with the police escort, the sirens? We need the sirens to wake these idiots up. I think they do it just, they come out on their porch, flip you off right here. Up yours, and one's waving the Buffalo Bill flag. We're like, look at these inbreds.
So it's okay. They've got two things out there.
Bills. I love it.
Bills and Sabres.
But I appreciate it. I love it. I have an appreciation for it. And you get the falls there.
How miserable the winter must be living in Buffalo. Oh, my God.
The Blitzer trying to tell me how great it is up there. I'm like, he got so mad at me for ripping him. I'm like, shut up. You lived in here, buddy. And you get up there. Yeah, you got paid. Got to live in a fancy area.
Phil.
Live downtown.
You know, we spent a little time talking about Cam earlier, and if you pull him out, that's pretty much sending the signal that he's no longer your quarterback if you have to do it again this week. What's on the line for Cam Newton in this game? Really, not just for this season, but beyond. He's got a lot to play for here because the conversation on him has shifted dramatically from the Seattle game. And you get to a point where, hey, not a lot of teams wanted Cam Newton this year.
Yep.
The Patriots were the team. If you play poorly this year, there's going to be, you know, maybe even less interest going into next season in Cam Newton.
Right. I mean, because you look at it, how many jobs are actually going to be open? Does it sound bad? I can hear Zoe laughing.
No, it's the gremlins. You're fine once you start talking. It's the beginning where the gremlins get you. It's like...
So you're saying, yes.
Little monster mashy. Yeah, I think if you look at it, how many jobs are actually going to be available next year? All right, you look at the Patriots job, but that's not going to be an option if they decide to move on, obviously. You look at maybe the Washington football team job.
About Dallas.
Ron Rivera and the connection down there.
What about Dallas if his ankle doesn't heal right?
If his ankle doesn't heal right, then maybe Dallas is an option. But there are going to be another three first-round picks at that position that come into the league next year. You're maybe Philip Rivers retires. Okay, so maybe Indy's, you know, in the market for their next guy. You're talking about a handful of teams that, you know, might be figuring out a way to draft up high near the draft next year anyway. If he doesn't finish the season as the guy here in New England, he's not going to be a starter anywhere next year. I think that's a pipe dream. And then I think you're back to the conversation we had before this season started with Cam Newton, which is, do you want Cam Newton and the personality, which is great, and everything that comes with Cam Newton, though, and have him be your backup?
Personality is great when you're running well. Now, here's my what the concern would be for me. It's like supposedly the team gravitated him pretty quickly, right? You know, 1 month in, he got voted team captain. Do you ever remember a team captain being sat down? Yet a quarterback that's team captain. I'm not talking like elsewhere. I'm talking about it here. Like, and I don't recall any team captain like losing their job, and then you have to sit there.
They traded Logan Mankins before the 2014 season. I don't know if he was technically a captain, but he was basically the leader of that offensive line.
Yeah,
that's probably the closest thing you'd get to it. Chandler Jones, no. Jamie Collins, no. Trey Flowers, even, you know, he leaves via free agency, but he was not a captain.
Right.
So
you've had big names. Richard Seymour got traded.
I'm just talking mid-year sat down mid-year. For 10 games.
No, it's weird.
10 games. It's sit weird. Your captain down.
But, you know, captain. Would wink, that, wink, wink.
No, I know, but would that piss the team off? I'm saying, you know, like there's, you could divide locker rooms when you do that.
Do they keep?
I'm not saying that would happen here.
Do they keep images of the ballots for however 22 months? Like
hanging chodes everywhere there.
Is that what they do in the Patriots locker room? Is there a paper trail of those ballots being cast by players for team captains? I'm wondering if there's a team clerk to take care of those.
I don't think it would impact the players, though. I mean, if he plays the way he's been playing,
you understand,
and he gets benched, is anybody going to look at that and say, what are we doing here?
What if they've already lost their confidence in him? I mean, I don't think we should rule that out either, that the Patriots players look at the situation and say, Cam's not playing well. This guy's not going to win anything for us. That could have already happened.
But it gets back to what we were saying earlier, which is, if he's not the guy, what does that say about the rest of your season? Are you not trying to get whatever you can out of Cam Newton? Are you not? I mean, Patrick Chung is on Instagram, it sounds like, trying to hype him up. He's giving him a little motivational comment on an Instagram photo where he's saying, you know, you can do it. I know you can do it. Just go out there and do it. Don't you think guys like Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty, Matthew Slater, all these veteran guys that have been around for so long, don't you feel like the message is probably somewhat similar to Cam? Because if they don't get him to turn around, then the season is really looking like a long haul.
Yeah, and it looks like you're circling the drain. And you know what? If they lose this weekend and it looks bad again, that's where they're gonna be. And I don't understand the point in starting Cam going forward if that's the case. You know, see what Stidham is. Give him the first team reps. Let him have those first team reps and let him prepare for a game as a starter. Let's see if he's got any ability to do it, because when he comes into the games over the course of his now 2-year career, it's been ugly. So that's what's going to happen. That's what's on the line this weekend. Cam's future, the team's future, a lot of it ties into what happens. More with Phil Perry is coming up next. Your call, 617-779-0985. RJ Bell coming up at 1 o'clock.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand. Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You have the perfect eraser, the equalizer in Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. It didn't matter who was out there receiver. He would make it work. So I think this is a bigger case for Tom Brady to say that he was the reason why that organization was successful for all those years. Because you take him away, and it's like when LeBron left the Cavaliers, it's like you won with these cats. You go from, you know, being maybe the, you know, winning the division,
don't
the Super
you do
Bowl
that,
contender,
Bart.
To not
Bart,
even being able
that.
To make the playoffs. And you're going to get shut out by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this is a big indictment on Bill Belichick, and that's maybe tough. Bill Belichick, you know, the general manager should be fired.
I'm sort of lost there with that Bart Scott comment. So he's saying shut out by the Buffalo Bills. That's his prediction for this week. I don't know what that means. You're going to get shut out by the Buffalo Bills with the games this weekend. I don't know what he was referring to. But Bill Belichick, the general manager, should be fired. And also, I would say Bart Scott doesn't mean that in actuality, right? Bill's not going to coach under a general manager. And if you want Bill Belichick the coach, you get Bill Belichick the GM, dude. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah. You do that, you know what Bill say? Bye-bye.
So I'm going to reframe this in a different way, Phil. Is that okay with you?
Go for it.
Would Bill Belichick's drafting track record of the last few years, let's say the last 5 years, if you want to give it that, and roster building of the last 5 years, if that were GM X, Y, or Z, would their job be in trouble?
Well, I think you look at the team that Bill Belichick was drafting for, and I don't know if this is a cop-out, but I think this is what happened. You're trying to maximize a window. You have a great quarterback. You have a championship roster, you think. And so in a year like, say, 2018, where you're not sure who's playing tackle for you because Nate Solder just left. You don't know who your lead back is. You're drafting for needs. They've been drafting for needs, really, the last few years. Even the Nikhil Harry pick you could look at and say, we don't have an X receiver. So I think they did it knowingly. I think they would acknowledge that it's probably not the best way to go about it. I don't know how they had certain guys stacked on their board. There may have been cases where Sony Michel was not only filling a need for them, but he was also the best player on their board, so they had to go with Sony Michel. That might have been what happened. But when you're looking at the way the thing was built, it was an older roster. They're trading back-end picks for veterans that would come in and play a role. You were looking to fill roles on a team that had a good quarterback that was ready to compete.
You don't have a young
run.
That's
a very different position than the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals are in.
You think about it.
I get that.
And they're just looking for players.
No, but I mean, like the first and second rounders of the last couple of years, he hasn't hit on, or they haven't hit on, because, you know, you look at the Vince Wilfork, year. You look at the year they slid around and got Mayo, the year they slid around and got Chandler and Hightower in the same draft. Jamie Collins as a second rounder. Like, those were hits. McCourty, late second round, late first round. The problem is now, even, you know, the last 2 years, the receiver position is so freaking strong in the draft the last 2 years that they're paying for that now, missing to not replenish anybody there or anybody in the front of this defense as far as being a nose tackle or a pass rusher.
Can I just compare two
lists? Ty Warren, Richard Seymour. Go ahead.
Because I think it goes beyond receiver. But I know
it
what
is.
You're saying.
Oh, it's definitely beyond receiver. Like, even if you go out and get the next guy, you're like, oh, my God, we're going to draft up and put all our collateral, and we'll reach for the third best quarterback at number 10 this year. You know?
I would say look
to throw to who?
Look at, like, the last, I think, seven for top pick of the draft by Bill Belichick, right?
Usually
so that's why I said, like, 5 years or so. But let's look at this current list. Going back to 2014, because I think that's where there's a line. The top picks have been Kyle Duggar, Nikhil Harry, Isaiah Wynn, Derek Rivers, Cyrus Jones, Malcolm Brown, and Dominique Easley. That's the list of top
Easley's
picks.
A killer. First
Those
rounder.
Are the top picks. The first draft, not necessarily first rounder, but it's the first pick Bill has made going back to 2014. Do you want to know what the previous six guys were?
Money guys that played turkey.
These were the first guys taken by the Patriots in each year prior to 2014. Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, Nate Solder, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung,
Dante Hightower,
Gerard Mayo. Like, there's a pretty significant difference between those two lists.
No doubt. And that 27, I mean, some of those years, 2017, they picked four guys, and they started with Derek Rivers in the third. You're punting on that draft.
Sure, it's the third round.
Yeah,
so that kind of gets back to my point. You're not
taking that team. Comes around. Three
I don't
or four
care.
Years
take
later.
Somebody else there. Malcolm Brown, hey, Cyrus Jones. Sure.
Listen, and I don't want to excuse away. I don't want to excuse away the misses that they've had. I think even if you look at Harry, you look at Michelle, and you look at Wynn, I think overall, have they done enough offensively? Are they trying to zig? And this is what fascinates me in terms of roster building, team building, the draft. I love this stuff. You guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL right now is an offense league. It is. I know they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago with a great defense. They held the Rams to 3 points. If you can't pass and you can't defend the pass,
yeah,
you're not a good team. And what have they done at quarterback? What have they done at receiver? They invested a high pick at receiver, and it looks like that's a miss. The guy still has time. Don't want to bury him just yet.
Sorry, miss.
What has he done?
Nope,
what has
miss. He done? He's right? Not going to get faster.
And you spent a first-round pick on a running back. Again, to fill a need, you thought it was going to help you that year, and it did help you that year. And you won a Super Bowl, which is great. But I don't know if they've done enough on that side of the ball to be building toward a good team. The stuff about the front seven defensively, you can find front seven guys. You really can. Like linebacker,
what about
defensive
tight end?
Line.
What about tight end?
Tight end, even tight end. So obviously they've ignored that basically entirely, right? Ryan Izzo in the seventh round is not – investing in the tight end position until this year where they take two guys in the third round. Tight end isn't making or breaking a Super Bowl team either. You don't have any receivers and you don't have a plan of quarterback. Those are probably right now in the 2020 NFL, those are the two most valuable positions on your roster. And I wonder if the way they look at it is, well, that's how everybody looks at it, right? So go all the way back to when Bill first started building his team. Well, we're going to zig when everybody else is zagging because we've got to deal with the cap here, and everybody's running a 4-3, so we're going to run a 3-4. Mike Vrabel doesn't have any value anywhere else, but we're going to bring him here, and he's going to have value, and this is how we're going to build our team. We're going to find these little market inefficiencies, right?
Van Noy, for example, yeah.
And we're going to take advantage of this stuff. Can you continue to do that in a league where offense is so important, where you say, well, we're actually going to build up our secondary. We're going to have the deepest secondary in the league. It helped them win a Super Bowl in 2018, so I'm not saying they were wrong to do that. But it looks like that's what they've done. And have they done that? Have they bypassed some of the things they could have done offensively to build up that secondary, especially when you look at those second round picks?
I think there's also
year after year, it's a DB in the second round.
And you're hitting on this because have they invested enough, not just forget, a high pick in N'Keal Harry, but period. Ben Volen has this tweet from today, just minutes ago. Here's the list of Patriots receivers available for Sunday. Damir Bird, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski, Isaiah Zuber, Mason Kinsey and
who?
Christian Wilkerson.
Who?
Do you know what all those guys have in common, Zoe?
What, they were on a practice squad?
No, they were all undrafted. Not a single one of those guys was taken with a draft pick. They were all undrafted free agents. That's how they came into the NFL.
Oh my
Not
God.
A single draft pick available this weekend at the receiver position.
So again, you won a Super Bowl, right? Filling holes, drafting a running back in the first round, and loading up on defense. They may look at that and say, we don't care if it's a three-year rebuild. We got our last one with Brady. We squeezed every bit of life that we could out of that dynastic run. But now it set them up to a point where it is looking like a multi-year rebuild because they don't have a quarterback. I'll read you a list of names of quarterback. I mean, to get Jarrett Stidham in the fourth round and have that be the only plan, really, after Jimmy Garoppolo.
And he was the seventh guy they took in that draft, by the way.
It's not a great plan. These are guys that, even without trading up, right, all the good quarterbacks go high. We know that. Names that they could have drafted without trading up at all. Lamar Jackson's an obvious one. Everybody knows that. Drew Locke, Gardner Minshew, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts were the two rookies that they could have drafted this year without moving up. I would say
Hurts.
Two of those guys are very average and could be bridge guys. Hurts and Love we still don't know about but have really intriguing skill sets, and Lamar Jackson's an MVP. You don't have to be at the top of the draft to draft a quarterback. You can invest and you can try to, and again, that's only five names out of how many guys were drafted at that position.
Sure.
But there are guys available. It's the most important position in the sport. Did you do enough? Did you do enough post Jimmy Garoppolo to help yourself? get to where you want to go.
If they lose this weekend, we're going to start watching a lot of college football to keep an eye on the quarterbacks. Yeah. Phil, appreciate
the time.
No Trevor
Lawrence this weekend, though. No
I know,
Trevor Lawrence,
I know. BC will get smashed.
They'll still get smashed.
Great job on that, Hardy, by the way. Oh. I love that every year.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
Phil, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys.
See you, Phil.
Phil Perry has been brought to you by and driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats. We'll be talking to RJ Bell of Pregame.com and Fox Sports Radio. He is right after the headlines.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.